5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me on the First Advantage hotline, powered by First Advantage. Oh, yeah, there we go. Zach Stevens joining me from DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Zach, my man, I love when we can start the week off with you. This is fantastic. Appreciate your time, my man.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brady. And, I mean, what a big week coming up.
Finally, we're done with the preseason. We put that thing to bed. The Broncos finished 2-1 in the preseason. A little better showing over the Vikings for the Broncos so they can wash the bad taste out of their mouth from that Bills game a while ago. That was rough. But Broncos win 23-13. The big question, Zach, I know we got cuts coming up soon. Got to get this thing done by tomorrow, right? We're talking quarterbacks. We're talking about that backup quarterback position for the Broncos.
Oh, Brady, thank goodness it's the backup quarterback position we're talking about this year. And you know what? Brett Rypien did a great job pushing Josh Johnson for the job. He did a lot better than I expected, and he truly made this a competition. But I think there's one play that's going to come back to haunt him and ultimately make the decision whether or not you agree with it. Nathaniel Hackett, after the game, just continued to point at that interception by Brett Rypien in the end zone, and I think that is what is ultimately going to cost him the job. But I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going with Brett. Maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling because he's younger, more longevity with him. You could sign him to an extension, obviously a small extension, but to keep him as the backup if the coaching staff really likes him. But ultimately, Brady, this was Josh Johnson's job to lose, and I think he did just enough to hold on to it. Again, that interception in the red zone. Brett Rypien was so good on Sunday or on Saturday, except for that pick.
Yeah, well, and sometimes it's all it takes is a play or two to really change things around. So when you look at the quarterback position, you're leaning toward Josh Johnson at this stage. How do you feel about the backup quarterback position? And you're right, it's much better. We've got the starting quarterback figured out. That's great. It's much, much easier, but this is what we do. We start debating the very next thing. How confident are you? Whether it's, like you said, probably Josh Johnson, maybe there's a surprise with Brett Rypien, how confident are you in that backup position if Russell Wilson happens to go down?
Yeah, I think you can get by on one or two games, and you know, two is really the max that I have for this. Regardless of who it is, there's a huge drop off really in pretty much every single quarterback room between that starter and that backup, and it's no different with the Broncos. You can get by with maybe six quarters of play from one of these guys, especially in the AFC West, Brady. That's what makes it so tough, is how competitive this division is. You can't afford to drop multiple games.
Yeah, you can't, and that's what's going to be so. Hopefully, we don't ever have to get there. Russell Wilson, other than last year, you know, pretty good career as far as talking about injuries. So maybe we won't even have to have that discussion. But we know who it is going forward, Russell Wilson, and now we can set our sights on the Seattle Seahawks game. And it will not be against Drew Lock unless Geno goes down for some reason. But Drew Lock, on the other side of things, Zach, he had his opportunity and he did not run with it.
Yeah, he did. And now a second year in the row, Drew misses out on a starting job to really a journeyman quarterback. So I think that it's not just all Vic Fangio. I think the Broncos fans can kind of understand that Drew, the Broncos probably didn't miss out on something big there. And I'll tell you what, I think this Broncos defense was ready to play Drew, would have preferred to play Drew. But instead, they got to go up against Geno Smith. But Brady, Russell Wilson versus Geno Smith. I don't even have to tell you the other guys around him. I don't have to tell you the head coaches. I don't have to tell you where the game is. This should be an easy Broncos win. And I'll tell you what, when the Broncos lines originally came out in Vegas, Broncos are favored by 4.5. Now they're up to 6.5. And just in the past couple of days, that line has already moved like 1.5 points. This thing could get over 7 because I think the general public sees where this game is going.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Just the way this thing probably going to shake out. Hopefully, for the Broncos' case, they can jump out the gates, go 1-0. I think Broncos country would feel great about that. Zach, when you look at the other guys on this roster, the spots that might be open, and McTelvin Aguim, I thought, had a really great game. He was our player of the week. I loved what I saw from him. Is he going to make this team, though?
Yeah, he made a fantastic push before this past game. He was on the outside looking in. After this game, I think he's on the inside Brady, and typically that's what the final preseason game is about, is for 1 to 3 spots that are still open on the roster. And defensive line, the Broncos do have some questions at depth there. You see McTelvin, the big game he has, and the talent has never been an issue with him. Brady, he was a 5-star recruit. He was the number one player coming out of Arkansas as a high school player. He had so much talent, and he was just so inconsistent during his career at Arkansas. And now he's put it together, and you see it in flashes. And so I think that he does make the team because of that one performance.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, with Brett Rypien, you can take a bad play, and that could be the deciding factor in a close battle. And then with McTelvin, I mean, you look at that and say, man, he had some monster plays in that game. He did feel like he was all over the place. So I'm rooting for him. He's a fun player to watch. I don't know how it'll work out for him in the end, but he's a guy you kind of root for.
Yeah, you do. And also, Brady, I mentioned talent. That is also typically, whether it's fair or not, if you have a guy that's talented and that has had some flashes, regardless of what position they're in, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And so I just think that his talent plus with his flash, I mean, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. He was just all over the place, causing absolute havoc along the defensive line. And this is a guy where the Broncos, I don't think they expect him to be a starter by any means at all this year, but they could keep him on the roster and say, maybe next year he becomes that starter for us.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. All right, Zach, other moves that you've got your eye on, any surprises we should be ready for tomorrow with the big cut day coming up?
You know, not really. When we're talking about the defensive line, you can look at Mike Purcell and say the Broncos could save a couple million by moving on from him. They did not play him in the past 2 preseason games. And that can be an indicator of he's made the team. But don't forget that it could also be the indicator of we know who he is as a player, and we don't want him to get hurt in case we do want to move on from him. So that's one to keep your eye on. I would expect that he does make the team, though, but that's the guy. And then, really, Graham Glasgow, I mean, we're talking about borderline starters here. There really shouldn't be a big surprise. It would surprise me if they moved on from Kareem Jackson, because he seems like he is going to be a big piece of this defense this year. And then outside of that, you're not really looking at any big surprises, because a lot of these veterans that we're talking about, Graham Glasgow, you don't save any money for moving on from him. Melvin Gordon, he's $2.5 million. Kareem Jackson, he's $2.5 million. So you're not talking about a big veteran cut that'll save the team upwards of $10 million.
Yeah, that's interesting for sure. How about on the offensive side of the ball, outside of the O-line, when you look at how many guys they're going to carry? Let's kind of just go down the list here. Obviously, as you mentioned, probably looking like Russell Wilson and Josh Johnson at that point at the quarterback position. How many running backs will they carry going into the regular season?
You know, I really liked what I saw from the backup running back this week. For the first time, it's something that I really liked what I saw. But there's still a massive drop-off from Mike Boone and the rest. So for me, it's pretty easy. It's going to be those three. And boy, Mike Boone, he played the way he played this past weekend. He deserves to get some playing time in the regular season. Now, it's going to be hard to take Melvin and Javonte off the field, but you got to have Mike Boone out there occasionally, which is how tough he was to tackle. So I'm going to go 3 guys at running back.
3 guys at running back. 5, 6 receivers. How many you see there?
Yeah, I think they stretch it out to 6 at the receiver position. And this is a tough one with Brandon Johnson going down. The Broncos could cut him and then bring him back, put him on short-term IR. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. They could also put him on IR for the rest of the season and just kind of do a redshirt season with him. That's going to be interesting, because I think he was on the way to getting that 6th final spot. Seth Williams had a good game, although 1 bad drop. And Kendall Hinton, he has not really flashed this offseason and grabbed a job and locked up a job, but he is Russell Wilson's safety net. So I do think he ends up getting the spot. Obviously, Montrell Washington, he's your 4th receiver. He has locked that up as also a special team special player. And then it's going to be Seth Williams. Does he get it? Jalen Virgil, I don't think he gets it. And it's really impressive the depth that the Broncos have.
Montrell Washington, Zach, I mean, this guy, he might have some potential to be a difference maker. As you said, receiver, return game. I'm really curious to see how he's going to work out, even in this 2022 season.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I have been so unbelievably impressed with Montrell as a receiver. We knew he was going to be a pretty good returner, and he's earned that job. He's earned the trust of Dwayne Stukes at that job, which is very important. But as a receiver, you know, if K.J. Hamler misses a game or two, I don't think you're missing much with Montrell stepping up right behind him. What's really surprised me isn't just the deep threat that he can be. It's the all-around possession guy that he can be. And he's really become trusted by Russell Wilson as well. So for a rookie to come in as a punt returner and gain the trust as a receiver in a couple of months, it's been very impressive. And he's a really easy guy to cheer for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, especially in that return game. What's the tight end situation look like, Zach?
Oh, man. I mean, the separation between tight end one and tight end five is barely anything. Now, you think that they're going to keep Andrew Beck as a fullback because they haven't worked anyone else there at fullback. So you have to imagine that he's staying. And then you talk about Eric Tomlinson, Eric Sauber. Those guys are just as close to being the starter as they are to being cut, it feels like. Albert O is going to make this team. And then obviously you're keeping Greg Dulcich. So, Brady, I'm going five tight ends, and then maybe they move on from one of those guys once Greg Dulcich is finally healthy. But we're no closer to seeing Greg Dulcich than we were a couple of weeks ago. And so that's something where I'm certainly not counting on him to be playing week one.
So is this a big concern then at the tight end position, as you mentioned with Dulcich and his situation, his injury situation, but just the fact that maybe Albert O didn't separate himself from the rest of the pack?
Yeah, and Brady, I got to say, a couple weeks ago, we went through every position when I was on your show saying how good are they compared to the rest of the AFC West. One of the things that I said, I put the Broncos tight end at third, better than the Chargers. Nope, you were right. I'm going fourth in this division just because they have a lot of guys, but they don't have that one guy at all. And so this is one of the biggest positions of weakness on this team because you look at it, the most all-around tight end in Eric Saubert, well, he's just okay as a receiver and as a blocker. The best receiving option, Alberto, well, he has proved that he has not improved as a blocker. And Eric Tomlinson, their best blocker, he had one catch last year. He had two catches in this past preseason game, which doubled his catch total from last season. So it's a position where you have a lot of guys, but you don't have the guy.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that'll be interesting, too. You mentioned a few things on the offensive line note with Graham Glasgow. How many guys you think we're carrying there? And then also, what does that depth chart look like, at least for now, with the starters?
Yeah, you're probably going nine deep on the offensive line. And Billy Turner, he's going to be what decides what this starting offensive line looks like. If he's ready to go, he is easily your starting right tackle. Then Calvin Anderson, who's got so much work as a starter this offseason, he's going to be your swing tackle. I think we saw that pretty easily with him taking left tackle reps during this last preseason game. He's going to be your swing tackle. And then Graham Glasgow, if you're not able to trade him, he's going to stay on the team. He's not going to be cut. He's going to be your backup, really interior offensive lineman, along with Luke Wattenberg. So the Broncos' offensive line is slowly coming together, and Billy Turner's that final piece if he's healthy.
All right, Zach, we'll bust through the defense. I know you got to run. Defensive line, edge rusher, that kind of situation. What does it look like there on the line as far as how many bodies we can expect to be on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, especially with the way McTelvin played, I think you're keeping six guys on the defensive line. And like I said, Mike Purcell, really the question mark there. The Broncos want to save a little bit of money, and if they want to go with only five guys, that's probably the guy that you're moving on from. However, I wouldn't be shocked if McTelvin doesn't make this team because, like I said, he's had one game that put him on the roster. If the Broncos overlook that, he was on the outside looking in last week. So I still think they stick with six guys, but Brady, that is a position that I could see the Broncos going to the waiver wire for, and really a lot of positions on defense. I could see them going cornerback on the waiver wire, they could go inside linebacker, and they could also go defensive line.
As we move down to the edge rusher side, Zach, I'm thinking that's going to be a pretty big strength. And I know there's question marks surrounding Bradley Chubb, and can he live up to that top five draft pick status from a few years ago? The addition of Randy Gregory, Baron Browning, Nick Benito, obviously. This is a situation where I'm looking at these edge rushers thinking, man, this could end up at the end of the season being one of the strengths, maybe the strength defensively, maybe overall.
It certainly should be, but like you said, the talent is there. but the question marks are also there. This is probably the highest floor, or the highest ceiling and the lowest floor on the team when you look at this position. And this could be the difference, Brady, between the team winning, going 9-8, and the team going 11-6 and pushing for the division and making the playoffs. This position right here, because like you said, they have studs in Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb. Are they both going to be able to put together big seasons together? Well, they've never done that. And so to count on them to both do that together, that's probably a long shot. Nick Benito ended up having two sacks, although it came against the backups of the backups of the backups. So he's probably not ready to have. And so to me, Brady, they're going to keep five outside linebackers. And the question of who exactly it is, are the Broncos able to trade Malik Reed? Because we know that George Payton's going to want to accumulate more draft capital for next year after trading it for Russell Wilson. If they're able to get a semi-good day three pick from Malik Reed, they'll probably do that and then hang on to Jonathan Cooper. If they're not, well, then Jonathan Cooper's probably on the out, despite him having a sack this preseason, in this preseason finale. He has really done nothing in training camp and in preseason. So I think that would be your five. Malik Reed makes it.
All right, Zach, we'll brush up here. Inside linebacker, that's certainly a position that's a little shaky. Joe Schobert was released last week, and I thought maybe he'd make more of a push. But what you're looking at there, maybe not a strength, but still you're wondering what that's going to look like. How many players are we carrying there?
Yeah, it seems pretty straightforward to me, Brady. You're going the starters, Josie Jewell and Jonas Griffith, and there is a lot of hope that Jonas Griffith is going to make the fight or going to be ready for week one. Then you have Alex Singleton, and Justin Strnad makes it on the initial 53. Wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't, and they only go three at inside linebacker. But then, Brady, I expect them to heavily go after the waiver wire to add someone there.
Yeah. All right, the cornerback safety side, let's go into that defensive backfield, obviously led by Patrick Surtain. He's not going anywhere. What are you looking at as far as the corners?
Yeah, corners, I mean, what it's going to come down to is what do they do with Michael Ojemudia? Are they going to move on from him? He is injured right now, so really tough to trade. That's a big question mark there. I love what I've seen from Damari Mathis. Has he probably maybe even jumped Michael Ojemudia on the depth chart, especially with OJ's injury? And that's also a position I could see them going for on the waiver wire, is picking some guy up there because you love what they have at the starters. But Ronald Darby and Kawan Williams are guys that don't stay healthy for a full year, so you got to have depth there. And with OJ kind of regressing in training camp, you don't love the depth.
Safety, and then we'll let you out of here, Zach. Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, what, Caden Stearns? I mean, what are we looking like there at the safety position?
Yep, you mentioned those three. Add P.J. Locke and DeLaron Turner-Yell, who, boy, did he have a great game as a tackler. Really, oh, man, I'm so bummed that they got in the end zone because his hit at the goal line on fourth down was absolutely monstrous. They're going to keep him. They're going to keep five safeties, I believe, because P.J. Locke is a guy that they really trust. And I think J.R. Reed's on the outside looking in just because of the young depth there.
All right, Zach, we breezed through it, man. We'll promote the podcast so folks can go through, and we'll check. We'll check your work tomorrow, my friend. Zach, always appreciate you, my man. And next week, we'll be getting into game week, so we're pumped about that.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait, Brady. We're almost there.
All right, my friend. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Yeah, no big shockers there to see, who's not going to make this team. Guys that we've been pretty much saying are going to be starters are going to be the starters. The backups are going to be the backups. So it does come down to how many receivers are you going to carry? Six, five, something like that. But you had enough guys showing flashes. It like Seth Williams, Brandon Johnson goes down with the injury, but he had a decent preseason as far as gauging. And again, at the end of the day, you went 2-1. You assess so many players at these key positions that probably you're not going to see a lot during the regular season. So the cuts are coming tomorrow. They got to get this thing figured out. Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton got to get to the grinding stone here and figure out what that roster is going to look like. Some tough decisions ahead for Denver. All right, just like that, Zach Stevens starts us off. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll come back. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. And we'll go to our poll question, our Method Flow Products poll question. Over, under, five wins for the UNC Bears. They start their season this weekend as they get set to host Houston Baptist. So we have all college football teams that we cover in action this weekend. College football officially will be rocking this weekend, so pumped about that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They have over 40 specialists providing care across six medical campuses, Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Longmont, Lafayette, and Westminster. If you're ready to get moving, check them out online at orthohealth.com. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. All right, Angel, normally we get to this early in the program. Let's do it now. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Hey, you know what? You don't want to miss many opportunities to throw the Rockies in the good column. So I'm going to do that today. They beat the Mets 1-0. Armand Marquez outpitched Max Scherzer. He allowed only one hit over seven. Sparkling, this was a nice little time for the Rockies, I guess. I don't know. They battled it out with the Mets, lost the series, but didn't get swept. I don't know, man. What else do you want me to say? Good job, Marquez. Found a way to get the win for the Rockies. The bad, I'm watching the Braves-Cardinals game last night. And obviously, Adam Wainwright's just ridiculous. But they start playing it. We tried to find it. Couldn't find it. He's singing country music now? Okay. It's all right. Whatever. I'm not a big country guy, so I'm probably bad to judge this. But instead of just, like, playing it in and out of a commercial break, they were playing it almost for a full session of Wainwright pitching, meaning the broadcasters just shut up and they played his whole song. So I'm like thinking of baseball movies, you know, when you see a montage and it's like upbeat music, going crazy. I'm thinking this is like a montage of him pitching, which he got out of the inning and it was great. But it's like the that'll be all right with me. It was just really awkward and uncomfortable. Again, I'm not knocking the guy for being multi-talented in the country music world, I guess, but it was just very strange. All right, let's move on to the ugly. Oh, boy. This was bad. I steered everybody wrong on this one. The Wyoming Cowboys lose to Illinois 38-6. The spread was 13.5. Didn't cover that, but they only had 40 yards of passing. 40. So maybe you're wondering, okay, Craig Bull, this is why he was waiting on making that decision who would be his starting quarterback. They don't have one. He completed Andrew Peasley, who they announced pretty much game time decision, but we knew it was going to be him. 6 of 21 passes for 40 yards. Yikes. I mean, he ran all right. Titus Swen had almost 100 yards. He had 98 yards on 17 carries. Peasley had 76 yards rushing, so he can run. That's exciting. Wyoming made this, you know, they kept in it. The first half was kind of how I thought it was going to go. You know, Illinois would probably go up. They were up 17-3 at the half, and that was kind of Wyoming slowing this thing down, and just no answers. Nothing went right for the Cowboys in the second half. It's going to be a long year for Wyoming. I do not think they're making a bowl game. That was one of our poll question on Friday or something. Based on that performance, I mean, how good is Illinois? I mean, I can't imagine.
They looked better than they were last year. I know a lot of national media was a little excited about Illinois, that they got their running game going a little bit. And just, if you're going to beat Wyoming by that much, you're going to get a good game.
Yeah, I mean, 38-6, you cover the spread. You beat a bad team, and you beat them pretty easily. They outscored the Cowboys 14-0 in the fourth quarter. So look out, Cowboys fans. It's going to be a long ride. Even diehard Cowboys fans that are following me on Twitter, we're all responding like, I don't know. Your Bears might might pull off an upset. Would that be an upset? I don't know.
I mean, I'd be excited about it, and certainly I still need to watch the Bears in action. We'll get to see them Saturday, mm-hmm. but if they come out of Saturday's game looking pretty good, I'm pretty confident about going to Laramie.
I mean, if you can smoke Houston Baptist, I don't know what the... We're looking at lines, and we're going to get to that because all the local teams that we cover here will be in action this weekend, which means I'll have a full slate of games. I will go over 500. I'm not worried at all about this. 0 week doesn't... It doesn't count, man. I mean, this is just a chance for me to get out there and see what's happening with these teams. So now I've got a hold on it, and we'll look forward, and we're going to bust it up this weekend. I'll pick between CU, CSU, UNC, Wyoming, and Air Force. So we'll have a lot of games to pick from, man. We got five. And then add the Broncos next week. We'll have our six that we'll be going through each and every week. So off to a rough start. As Wyoming just gets shellacked by Illinois, 38-6. But I'm confident we can bounce this thing back. So there it is. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Our Method Flow Products poll question. Over, under. Five wins. I almost put four there. But I wanted to put five because you get over five, that's a good season for UNC. Considering the fact that the Bears, since they joined D1 FCS, they've only had two seasons where they produced that amount, I believe, and it was six. They had six wins. Two seasons in a row under Ernest Collins Jr. with six wins. Outside of that, we've been looking at threes and twos and fours and threes. I don't even know if there's a four in there. So you're taking that over big time.
Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at their schedule now. I see 5-6 wins on this schedule, realistically. If they play up, if the defense plays up to what they can be and the offense can just move the ball effectively, I think they're going to be in every game with a chance to win every game.
Well, defensively, we're hearing a lot about them. And again, I'm just curious to see what that offense is like. Because you thought with Dylan McCaffrey last year, there was going to be this spark and they were going to move the ball well. It was not the case for UNC. I mean, they had the games they were in and the games they did win defensively had to keep them in every game just so something could happen, whether that was a crazy late overtime touchdown or a big stop defensively, whatever. This is a big year. I was reading, I don't know if you read this one yet, Angel, but Sean Keeler in the Denver Post interviewed Ed McCaffrey at the Front Range Huddle thing last week. He just put the story out today, and it's basically talking about all the stuff that happened. All the transfers and all the he said, she said stuff that came out in that article from the Greeley Tribune and basically just talking about how last year was a crazy year for McCaffrey. I mean, they get rolling. The announcement's made a few years ago that he's going to be the head coach, and everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Obviously COVID, obviously transfer portals, just time and time again. If it could go the wrong way, it was going to do that for UNC. So maybe this is the year with his feet firmly planted underneath him, and they have their plan going forward. And I think Max McCaffrey is going to have some pressure on him too. Put in as the offensive coordinator last year after they moved on from their old offensive coordinator that was really supposed to help Ed kind of navigate through the college world. So big year coming up for the Bears. Over, under five. That's the Method Flow Products poll question. You can go vote at theholeshow.com. Angels liking the over there. Let's see what the Hooligans think at the web on the website. Again, go vote, holeshow.com. 54% saying under. So we're right there in the mix there. It's a good healthy combination here. I'll be curious to see what you guys think by the end of the show today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic about the Bears as always. I would say I'm more optimistic and confident in this team than I was last year just because we know what we're going to get on the defensive side of the ball. And I think the offense, they have players there. You got Cassidy Woods at receiver, Elijah Dotson. I am so pumped to see this guy
too.
In action.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron and Blake have been talking him up so much. I'm really excited to see him. And then just to see Dylan, can he be that starter? He got the full spring, didn't see a lot in the spring game, but you got to feel that that's going to be hopefully enough to him to take that step for the team to feel confident with him under center and with Max and Ed being confident as their quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like you said, He didn't play a lot in that spring game, but he was there for spring. You know, Dylan wasn't there last year for this situation. So, boy, it's right around there for me. I had a hard time with this one. We'll talk more about that. Also, all of our teams are in action. I'll give you the opening lines, at least for a few. Not all the lines have been posted just yet. I don't think Air Force's line is out there. I don't think UNC Houston Baptist. I don't think that's out. Maybe you can find it, Angel. Let's take a quick break, though, first. 38 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-two minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Don't forget the UNC Coaches Show will be at the go again this year, and that starts tomorrow night. The very first show will be at 6 o'clock, so I'm guessing Coach McCaffrey and company will be out there with Blake Olson, the brand-new play-by-play voice for the UNC Bears football team. Aaron Rath will be out there as well, so we're very much looking forward to what should be, hopefully, a better season for this UNC football team. But again, you're getting, this is why I think it's so important for that front range huddle thing last week. And I know I'm still getting flack for that, but Ed was down there in Denver and there's a lot of write ups about him. There was a lot of coverage surrounding the UNC Bears and, you know, maybe rehashing some of the negative stuff that happened last year, but also I think drawing attention to the UNC Bears, which I think is a big thing.
Certainly, that, and I think maybe in the back of Ed's mind, he's probably thinking, okay, let's go out and get a win. Let's get this the negative story behind us. It was there. Everybody knows what happened, whether or not those allegations were true, whatever. We got a new team. We got the players that want to be here, and I know Ed said that when you guys talked to him. Players that want to be there, players that want to, you know, be part of this team and building up that tradition that they used to have.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, okay, again, it's so sad last week, Kay Dalton passes away. But it does, not that this is the most important thing at all, but it does make you look back at the past for UNC and how good or bad they've been over the years. I mean, this used to be a very well-respected program in the 90s and then even in the early 2000s. And basically, you make that transition to the Division I side, the FCS side, and it has not been good for the University of Northern Colorado. So just trying to get some excitement around your program. And we're going to find out, man. We're chomping at the bit. We want to see what this football team is really all about. And this will give us that opportunity coming up against Houston Baptist. I mean, if you can find a way to win that game, get that first game under your belt, then I think you get some excitement. It's at home. Are you going this weekend? You going to make it out there?
I might be there at Nottingham Field this weekend. Home opener. Get the crowd back out there. The students are obviously back. They had some events going on over there, so it'd just be nice to get college football back in Greeley.
You had the Bears bash and stuff over the weekend, too. So, I mean, you're just trying to build that excitement factor. And, you know, again, the McCaffrey stuff, like in your mind, is it still there? Is that excitement factor still there with Ed McCaffrey or with all the drama that took place? And again, I know a lot of that stuff was vetted out and it wasn't as big as it first seemed. But is the honeymoon phase officially over for Ed McCaffrey and those UNC and his time with UNC Bears? Now it's time to, I don't know, put up or shut up? Or what does that really mean in the grand scheme of things?
I think for me personally, obviously I follow the Bears very closely, so I'm a little more biased than I would say the casual fan might say, but there is still certainly that excitement. You hear Ed McCaffrey and you just go, you get flooded with memories about Broncos games and Broncos practices and all that. And you just kind of get that sense of, okay, let's see what this guy can do. You know, obviously he's inexperienced, so everything he does is a learning process. And he said that, you know, he feels at his most comfortable position now than he was when he got signed on, obviously, with all the things that were changing around him. But it is kind of that put up or shut up mentality.
Yeah.
But it also, you feel a different energy with this team. The team itself, the players we've talked to, the players you see on social media, they're excited. They hear the noise, but they're ignoring it. and they're ready to go out and prove themselves.
I think Blake and Aaron have done a great job, too, of getting out there and putting videos together and talking to these players and building some excitement around this team. But, yeah, I mean, we're going to get to this point where it's just it's time to go. And I don't know what that looks like if UNC's not good. Like, is Ed gone? Does the organization move on from Ed? Angel, can you do me a favor? Find what Ernest was being paid, and then what is Ed McCaffrey at now? I'd like to know that. Because a lot of people that just say, well, they put up with a lot of losing with Ernest Collins Jr. for several years. So what makes you think they're going to put up with, or what makes you think they won't put up with a lot of losing with Ed McCaffrey? Well, the dollar sign might have something to do with that. You know, if you're paying Ernest half of what you're paying Ed, I'm guessing Ed's costing you a pretty penny at this point. So for UNC's standards. So yes, there will be pressure, I believe, this season. Now, again, does that mean if he doesn't win this year, the over five, if he doesn't win four, three, whatever, is Ed McCaffrey gone due to a decision at the top with Darren Dunn and company? Probably no. Does Ed want to stay? Does he want to keep? I mean, you talk to Ed, and it's the long game. I mean, he wants to build it here, and it certainly is. And I don't see why you wouldn't. But do you have that?
Yep. So March of 2016, Ernest Collins signed a 5-year contract extension through 2021. The annual salary of $150,000. It was a raise of $26,000 per year. Ed McCaffrey, when he signed his deal, a 5-year deal as well, was $190,000.
Okay. So it's not like, what was Ernest's initial one?
His extension was worth $150,000.
I mean, it's not like that gigantic of a difference, so, right?
Not really. And you got to think, maybe most of UNC, that's just the name, really, and getting that kind of public figure to come to UNC. But, you know, it's an opportunity for him to come into a program that hasn't had success. And if you build that success, it's all yours.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, even me, I've been critical sometimes of, well, you hired a guy that had 2 years of high school football coaching experience. But you also need to call it out and say, at some point, UNC had to tear everything down, move on from Ernest, and bring in a guy that maybe grows up with you as a coach. And Ed certainly has a wonderful pedigree of football. I mean, a Super Bowl champ, played with John Elway under Mike Shanahan. I mean, the pedigree's there. His connections are second to none as far as...
He got two new coaches on his staff that had prior NFL experience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, guys, I grew up, like Jimmy Spencer. I mean, dude, I loved that dude. I'm pretty sure big number 33, man, big cornerback. I look at this and say, you can be critical, but you weren't winning before. So do you say, hey, we got a guy that doesn't have a lot of college football coaching experience? I mean, all of Ed McCaffrey's college football coaching experience is coming from his time with the UNC Bears. He was never a position coach before that. All right, 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Don't forget, the Clay Millen Show is coming up at 1 o'clock today. I believe we are doing that by phone. Crazy week for Clay. He'll be in studio next week, but he just shot me a text. So we work with him. Obviously, these NIL deals, man, we work with their schedules. So we'll have Clay via phone at 1 o'clock. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Cable's Pub and Grill, it's where my friends meet. You can meet there, too. It's a fantastic restaurant that, you know what, they've been doing it for a long time now. That place has been locally owned and operated since 1972, and why wouldn't it be? With great, great meals, great atmosphere, excellent beer, and then specials. Look at this. Today's the day, the all-you-can-eat spaghetti for $5.95. I mean, perfect. Stop by Cables Pub and Grill. Easy on the wallet, too. That is all things Cables Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, so the over-under, that's the poll, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Is it going to be, are they going to reach over the five mark? I mean, five would be considered a pretty successful season. I think so. You get over five, things are really starting to look up for the University of Northern Colorado. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll talk about that. Okay, I want to hit this quickly. Ryan Stonehouse. Congratulations to Ryan Stonehouse, the former CSU punter. The Titans cut their other punter. So that clears the way. It's going to be Stoney. He is on an NFL team. He's going to be punting at a high level for Tennessee. So congratulations to that guy. He's a good dude, man. We interviewed him two or three times, I think, last year. And, I mean, the most I've ever talked to a punter ever on this show. I mean, we aren't, you know, it's no offense, but we're not really reaching out to kickers and punters and long snappers and such.
Punters are people, too.
Well, Ryan certainly proved that. He's extremely talented guy, well put together. He can speak on any topic you throw at him. So really rooting for that guy this year, as he'll be the starting punter, more than likely, looks like it, unless any kind of changes come up, for the Tennessee Titans. Angel, are you ready for the preseason to be, for the regular season to start? Preseason's over with. It's time to move on. Regular season is, we got another week still, but a week and a half or whatever.
Yeah, it's that weird little, like, lull. Like, we got all excited for preseason, get into it, it wraps up, and we kind of just sit here, all right, 13 more days, less than that until the Thursday night game next week. But it's here. We got a little taste of college football this weekend. That was nice to just sit on the couch all Saturday and just watch some games. Got a full slate coming up. Thursday games, Friday football, obviously. And we're just ready to hit the ground running with this season.
Yeah, man. I the full slate of games this weekend. Who you got this week? Who's Bama going up against?
Bama's playing Utah State at home.
Everybody's been saying that to you, and you're like, wait,
like, what's going on with
good?
Utah State? Should
are
I be
they
worried?
They won over the weekend. Who did they beat? I forgot. Oh, UConn. They won. They beat UConn 31-20. So look
Alabama's
out.
Alabama's currently a 41.5 point favorite.
41.5. Utah State's probably like a middle of the road Mountain West team, maybe slightly above that. I consider everybody. And CSU's side that's not Boise State and Air Force to be middle of the road. All right, second hour coming up. We'll get to the lunch rush. More on the Broncos. And only two Broncos in the NFL's top 100. Kind of goes to show you what the rest of the league thinks of the Broncos roster. Second hour coming up next.